Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 18 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, the man who's on his deathbed, Eric Krause.
Yeah, not feeling great today.
Eric, you walked into the first class that we had together today, and you looked like just death walking.
Pretty much.
You're already skinny. You look like a skeleton.
I don't know. I got food poisoning.
Like, yeah. You said that you got food poisoning, but like, explain.
I made a pizza last night, and we were discussing what of the frozen pizza could have given me food poisoning. And I don't know. I think it was maybe refroze or something in the store.
What kind was it? What kind of pizza was it?
A Supreme pizza.
See, this is where you went wrong. A Supreme pizza is always going to fuck you. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I'm pretty much just going to stick away from pizza for a while because, Jesus Christ, the amount I threw up last night.
I've never once gotten sick off of a sausage or a pepperoni pizza. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I drank 3 liters of water last night. And I probably threw up 3 liters of water as well. Not great.
All right. Well, today we have a brand new guest on the show, Drew Bray. Drew, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, everyone. I'm Drew, Astound, Twitch content creator. If you like really great video gameplay, you should definitely not check out my channel on Twitch. But if you like people that laugh and yell a lot while playing video games, you should check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/D3Structive Dude. Also, everywhere on social media, Twitter, Instagram, other places, it's at D3Structive Dude. Thanks for the love and support, Dad.
Drew, it's really great to have you on the show because you're like the only other person I feel like that we know that who does video game entertainment stuff, I guess. And really, I only know you because we're like Twitter mutuals. So it's kind of funny to have you on the show. We grew up in very similar areas, like 20 miles away from each other. So that's a fun fact as well. So, you guys, before we get to the game of the show, which I'm very excited to talk about, there is a Hot Topic, which will one day be sponsored by Hot Topic. Actually, maybe it's this one. Who knows? Maybe they reached out.
Yeah, maybe we got it finally.
Maybe we finally
only
got
took
it.
4 episodes just saying, let's Hot Topic sponsor us. They did it.
It might have been longer. I don't know. I feel like we've been doing it for a while. Anyways, the Hot Topic is Twitch. And for someone who cares about video games and talks about video games a lot, I know very little about Twitch. Eric, I know that you've done some streaming yourself.
Yep.
And that, I feel like that's why you have this equipment. But Drew, you are the Twitch boy. You're the resident Twitch boy. I just want to talk about Twitch as a platform, your experience, you know, doing Twitch things. So let's just start off. Explain your channel, what you do, and like kind of how you got into it.
So I started like watching Twitch. I think my channel was born in like the 2014. So super early on, right after they changed their name from Justin TV to Twitch.tv when it was bought out by Amazon. And I used to play a game called Smite, which is a League of Legends kind of ripoff. It's a MOBA-esque game. I used to watch a lot of people on Twitch start doing that, start streaming it. And one day I was like, I'm going to save up my money and buy streaming equipment and play video games on the internet. And then last year with my tax returns, I had enough money to kind of like rebuild my gaming computer for streaming. And so that's kind of what I did. I really just play about just about anything. I play the game of the week that we're going to talk about in a bit here. I play a bunch of other stuff. And really, it's just about engaging with community members and building like a community from the ground up and having people like support you. Obviously, there's money involved, but I don't do it for the money. I do it for the people that come out and enjoy the content that we make each and every day and make fun of ourselves for.
So what's building a community been like? Was it a really slow start? Has there been a moment like a spike where you got a lot of people coming in or explain that? Like, do you have people who are like consistently watching your stream that you're interacting and getting to know?
Yeah, I have roughly, as of right now, as of recording this, like 262 followers on Twitch, which isn't anything crazy by any standards. It's definitely, as a platform has become, began to get more saturated, especially with, again, the game that we're going to be talking about, it's very difficult to build communities now because a lot of people are just everyone's trying to take their own hand and do their own thing. So actually getting people that want to just watch you rather than try and piggyback off your success is super difficult. And there was definitely a time When I first started back in May, where I blew up immediately just because all my friends were watching me and they've always been telling me to do it. I definitely had a little bit of a stagnant pool over the summer. But now we've been switching up the games we've been playing. I've been doing a lot more variety streams, what they're called. They're just not playing like the main game that I normally play. Getting different kind of crowds in there and also streaming more consistently also helps build the community. So it's definitely a difficult task. It's not easy. But as you, the more time and effort you put into doing it, you'll get more out of it. That's just kind of true with anything. So especially with building a community on Twitch.
For sure, for sure. So you said you're doing these kind of like variety streams. So you don't, are you just jumping into like random games? I saw you playing some card, it was like some card RPG the other day. I jumped in and I was like, what game is this? And I realized because I never used Twitch that I could have just checked what game was tagged on the stream or whatever. But I'm in it. Anyways, what game was that?
That was called Slay the Spire, which is it's a roguelike. Deck building game. Essentially, you start out with the Ironclad, the Silent, or the Defect. Those are the three characters that you can play. Those have their own passive abilities, and you essentially just go through dungeons, defeating monsters with cards like in Hearthstone and things like that. And then as you defeat enemies, you get cards added to your deck, and you try and defeat like end bosses and things like that. And you essentially just keep going. Through and through. And that's been one of the more popular games. Roguelite games in general are really fun to watch on Twitch because it's, you know, the randomness and everything like that, like Binding of Isaac and things. So that's been one of the more popular games that I've been streaming as of late.
So when you're streaming these, I mean, I would consider that's an indie game, right? I would consider it. Do you think it's kind of easier to pick up an audience that way because maybe people are looking for that game like specifically and maybe there's less people streaming it? Or
yeah, one of the easiest ways to get a bigger audience is to stream games that not everyone is streaming. For example, a week ago, in this last week, if I, someone who's not very small or is not very big, or even someone who's smaller than me who's just starting, they wanted to stream like Apex Legends, there's just no way that they're obviously going to be
found. That's the most streamed game right now. I saw like even more than Fortnite.
Yeah, and that's same with Fortnite too. Is like if you start streaming Fortnite for zero viewers, you're just not going to be able to build up that community as fast. So streaming more obscure games that, you know, draw in more people, that way you get bumped up to the top of those categories within those games, because in Twitch you can search by game, you click on the game, whoever has the most viewers obviously is in the top, it goes from descending order and so on. So if I'm playing Slay the Spire and someone's like, I really want to watch Slay the Spire today, and I have 20 viewers, I might be the number one guy already on the list. That instantly brings in more people that way.
Eric, you got anything? Sorry, I don't mean to.
Yeah, I was kind of curious about your stream setup because obviously I'm a sound guy. I do all the equipment and stuff. So do you have a dedicated streaming PC and then a gaming PC, or are you running it all on one rig?
I am currently running it all on one rig. I'd like to do a streaming PC, but that is a lot of money and dedication that I do not have the time for.
What kind of processor do you have then in your PC?
My specs on my PC currently, I have an Intel i7 8700K. I also have a NVIDIA GTX 1080 with 16 gigs of DDR4 Vengeance from Corsair, and then just a couple trash hard drives. I have an SSD, but I forgot to put my OS on my SSD when I first reboot my computer, and I don't want to take the time.
Yeah, that's always rough.
Eric, you think that can run Odyssey?
Yeah, I think it could.
So you're currently a Twitch affiliate. So what exactly does that mean? Run me through it. I tried to look it up because I'm writing this article about small Twitch streamers and stuff. And I'm still a little confused. So run me through this, then we can talk a little bit more about that.
So the Twitch affiliate program is something that's a little bit newer to the platform. Before the affiliate program started, you needed to be a pretty decently sized streamer to even think about potentially making money on this platform. Before, in order to get a subscriber button, which if you get, for those that don't know, in order to be a subscriber to a Twitch channel, you either can pay $5, $10, or $25, or if you have Amazon Prime, which gives you Twitch Prime for free, by the way, sub to Drew, you can get a subscription for free. But before the affiliate program, in order to get those, you had to have at least an average of 500 viewers. A couple years ago, when YouTube was having the adpocalypse and things like that, Twitch realized that they can make a killing off of bringing in newer content creators to the platform, and they introduced the affiliate program, which essentially gets streamers their foot in the door and allows them to make money earlier than being a partner. You don't get as many perks with the affiliate program. In order to reach it, you have to hit 50 followers on Twitch, stream for 7 unique days, I think it's streamed for 12 hours, like 12 total hours, and then have an average of 3 viewers. That's not something that's super difficult or crazy. And that definitely allows for young, like smaller platforms or smaller streamers rather to like I said, get their foot in the door and then kind of build their way up to getting the partner status, which everyone's chasing constantly.
So is the end goal for you to, you know, to get partnered?
Yeah, that'd be the end goal. Yeah. That's what I'd like to do.
So what kind of stuff are you doing to try to reach that goal? I don't know. I'm just curious. It seems like building something, you know, even when we're trying to build this, it can be hard. I don't know. Trying to figure out how to market these kind of things and getting exposure and stuff can be kind of difficult. So I'm curious to know, maybe just so we can piggyback a little bit off of that, how, you know, what approach are you taking?
It's a lot of networking. I think the biggest downfall that people see, like people like just start streaming and they get frustrated when they drop out after like a month of doing it, is that they think that just because they download like OBS and hit the go live button, that they're just going to hit like 20,000 viewers right away. Like I said before, this platform is completely oversaturated at this point, and you have to be able to market. Like, you got to be able to use Twitter, use Instagram effectively, use Reddit like no other. Like, you got to be on Reddit a lot, just like communicating with different people. And also just like going into other streams and meeting new people. I've done multiple days where when I turn off my stream and I end it, I host different people that play similar games to me. I join in their communities and their Discords, and I hang out with them and become friends with them, and subsequently like build up my community as they're building up theirs. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's a lot of kind of just like throwing stuff at a wall, seeing what sticks. But it's a slow and monotonous grind, but there's, when you hit that peak and then you just keep riding that wave, it's pretty incredible stuff.
So, Eric, I know you're sick or whatever, and so don't, you know, feel free to not strain yourself that much. But you did Twitch, you know, you streamed for a while, right? You said, yeah, you used to. And so I'm curious to know what turned it off, you know, for you. I want to know what clicked for, you know, Drew, and maybe what you didn't enjoy about the platform.
Mostly I just got too busy. I did really enjoy doing it, and I wasn't really ever doing it. What's nice is about the affiliate program is the way Twitch's UI is. It kind of makes it like a video game where it's like you're trying to check off these boxes. And so, but mostly the reason I fell out of it was I just didn't have enough time to consistently do it.
Well, you told me before, this is the reason I asked, is because before you said, oh, I didn't really like Twitch that much because I didn't like talking to myself or whatever. I don't know.
That was also the thing too, is because when you're just doing it and you're not really getting a lot of people, you're getting a lot of lurkers at first, people that don't really jump in and chat. They're just like kind of there to look, watch you play a game. And so I'm not really great at just sitting there and talking to myself. And so it would just be end up being a lot of me just kind of playing a game, and then I was
For sure. We're gonna, you know, just for the record, this summer. Well, this is the hope. So maybe I'm jumping the gun a little bit. We're moving in together. We're gonna be in one spot.
Yeah.
We're hoping to do some streaming as well to try to build up the Late for Embargo brand.
Yeah.
But so Drew, how did you, was that kind of a learning curve for you? Did you feel like you had to kind of learn to be entertaining, or is that something that maybe comes naturally to you, or?
Well, I like to think that it comes pretty naturally to me. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, you know, but toot, toot. But no, I have a really good friend. His name is Josh. I was part of a gaming community for a really long time, for like 3 years, and he was the captain of the ship. And he would always talk about, like, he started streaming, and he had this entire community behind him already. But one of the things that really stuck with me, that what he said, is always stream thinking that there's 100,000 people watching you. Even if there's none, or even if there's like zero, either zero or like a couple people watching, having the mentality that there's always a bunch of people with eyes on you is really important, because when someone clicks on your stream, you have like a 5-second window, maybe max, for them to see if you're doing something engaging, if you're talking to the chat, if you're not, if you're, you know, getting ragey or whatever. That 5-second interval is your best first impression, and if it's not good enough, they're just gonna click off and watch somebody else. So constantly thinking that there's 100,000 people watching you and that you constantly are like engaging with the chat and talking to them, even if there's nobody there, definitely allows for more people to come in and be like, hey, I like this guy, I'm gonna click that follow button. Maybe I'll even give him a dollar or a nice firstborn child or something. I'm crazy.
So I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about, because this is something Twitch, I feel like I only see very negative things about as a brand, you know what I mean? I've seen a lot of things about inconsistent community guidelines and stuff like that. And as someone who is part of the Twitch, you know, community, what's your take on all of this?
They have a very weird way of promoting, It's very difficult to talk about. So essentially, YouTube is, I think, the worst platform when it comes to community guidelines or like giving their content creators a good idea of what they should be doing because of all the copyright strikes they have. But it seems like lately Twitch is doing some really awful things too. There's been shit that's been blown. Oh, sorry. Ooh, pardon
me. No, we swear all the time. We swear so much.
Fuck.
Anyway, there's the whole thing over New Year's Eve. For those of you that don't know, Ninja was having a big New Year's Eve event in New York City. He was going to stream Fortnite with a couple with like Tim the Tap Man, Courage JD, Dr. Lupo. It was going to be a big event. The golden rule of Twitch is essentially do not self-promote your Twitch channels unless you have permission from the streamer. What Twitch was doing was essentially having ads on streams for Ninja's big event, essentially telling people to, hey, watch Ninja during New Year's. Don't watch this streamer. I personally do not think that's the message that they were trying to come across as giving, but that's what a lot of community members thought they were doing. So a lot of people, there's a really funny guy on Twitter named L Lance. It's Lance with two L's. He makes really stupid Twitch videos talking about what Twitch does and like makes skits about it. And so Twitch realized what they did wrong with the Ninja thing. They said they weren't going to do it anymore. They weren't going to like self-promote big channels on other channels to take away from the already established community audiences. Not even 2 weeks later, Twitch did the same thing with a streamer named Pokimane, telling her that, hey guys, Pokimane's going to be streaming Fortnite at the Pro Bowl. You guys should all watch. Don't watch this streamer, watch her. And everybody got super upset again because, you know, Twitch was self-promoting Pokimane over other streamers and it was something that wasn't cool. And then Twitch was like, oh, okay, we learned our lesson. And then again, they did it with Ninja like a couple weeks, like a week ago or something like that. So the community guidelines with Twitch, they're very not clear at all. They're also really bad with banning certain streamers and not banning certain streamers. What you can and can't do on stream is very, very gray boxed. There's no black and white what you can and can't do. There was a streamer by the name of Mr. Deadmoth who, I don't know if you guys saw this thing on Twitter or whatever, but he was having a fight with his wife.
Oh, yeah, I saw this.
And his wife had thrown stuff on him on stream. And they were having an argument, so he went off stream and physically assaulted her. You can hear a kid crying in the background, and he got taken off. He got thrown into jail for, like, a couple days, and he only got, like, a two-week ban on Twitch, and then they let him come right back. They eventually, obviously, like, they terminated his account now and things like that. But there's also been people who have been permanently banned for sneezing because you can't have bodily fluids show up on your stream.
For real?
That is not a joke.
Have you ever had a close call?
Never had a close call before. There's also been people that have gotten temporary bans for like stubbing their toe, cause that's considered like self-harm. So the way they handle bad situations is consistently inconsistent is the best way to describe it. So they really do not have a good black and white what you can and can't do in terms of community guidelines. It is very frustrating.
I saw some dude who got really drunk on stream and then he like passed out.
Yeah, Mango.
Like he like fell asleep or something.
Mango, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he got in trouble as well.
Yeah. Mango is a Super Smash Brothers player. He's one of the best in the world at Melee and moving into Ultimate, and he's a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. And when they won their first round playoff game a couple weeks ago, he got super drunk and passed out on stream. And they gave him a 7-day ban. And then he's like one of the funniest things I think was his tweet right after that was, "What if the Eagles win this week?" Saying that he was going to get even more drunk on stream and just kind of like fight back. So I think it's just, I think that was kind of funny.
I have one more question. Your graphics and stuff on your channel are cool. Did you make them? Was that all you? Or
did not make those at all. I am not.
Do you like commission someone or
I? The graphics on my stream, some of them are commissioned, some of them are not. When I first started, I have a friend of mine that went to Toma. I went to my high school with me that I live with here at Stout for a couple years. I asked him, hey, do you want to make stuff for my stream? Like backgrounds and things like that and different borders? And he said, yeah, sure. And so I asked him if he wanted me to pay for it. And he said, no, don't worry about it. I'll do it for free because I like what you do. And I was like, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. But like some of my emote that I currently have, the three that I have, and then some other stuff and like YouTube thumbnails and things like that, I do commissions for. I have a buddy of mine that I pay to help me do those because, again, I'm not very good with art at all.
So you're putting stuff on YouTube as well?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the thumbnails for our podcast, but
they're very good.
I make them. So, you know, if you want to throw some cash my way, I'll make you some thumbnails.
Ooh, shameless plug.
Eric, you got anything else to say about Twitch?
No.
Bump, 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 bump. Bum, 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 bum. Game of the show. All right, that works.
Was I supposed to clap? I didn't.
No, this is only the second time that we've done it, because I, like, tried to start this whole jingle, and I'm trying to start it back up, and I like it. It works. The game of the show is Fortnite. So, I feel like you know, I've seen you stream Fortnite the most, I think, right? So, and Fortnite is the zeitgeist. Fortnite is the biggest game in the world right now. It, you know, kids everywhere are doing all these dances and such. And so I feel like we, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice. We didn't talk about this game at some point. So I want to know, just tell me like, you know, how you started playing Fortnite. Did you jump in at the same time everyone else? How did you, you know, get hooked? Why'd you start streaming it? Give me the, you know, the basics.
So I have been playing Fortnite Save the World back when it was originally called Fortnite, for like a year before the Battle Royale came out. My buddy, one of my roommates actually up now, had a key for the $40 game, and he gave it to me, and we played like the tower defense Save the World stuff, and it was pretty fun, but I didn't really think anything of it at the time. And then when they first introduced the Battle Royale version, I decided to hop on and play it because I was big into Battle Royales at the time. I have almost like 1,000 hours on my Steam account in like PUBG, and I put a little bit of H1Z1. So I was like, ooh, Fortnite, that's cool. And as soon as I played it, I immediately turned it away because I thought it was stupid and I did not like it. I thought it was way too childish. And then eventually, after going back to it a couple more times, I started playing it more and more. And then as soon as I got my, like I said, the parts to build like my PC to be a streaming and gaming rig all in one, I was like, everyone else is streaming Fortnite, why can't I do it? So that's kind of how the trend started, and I just haven't looked back since.
So you were an OG Fortnite dude, you know. Yeah. you were playing the Save the World, which I honestly I remember seeing one like IGN video when that came out, and I was like, oh yeah, that looks fine, I guess. And then now Fortnite's fucking giant, and when it first came out, everyone was like, are you shitting me? This just ripped off PUBG or whatever, and then it totally blew away. So, Eric, you got anything?
Yeah, so my biggest problem with Fortnite, and the reason I really don't like playing it, is the building. So, do you like the building in it? I guess you do, I guess, if you play it a lot, right?
I think that used to be my mentality, too. I think the building brings a different kind of aspect to the battle, like to battle royales in general. Like most of the ones that we saw, like H1 and PUBG, were the two, you know, dominant ones at the time. Kind of the only two that I can think of besides like Minecraft Hunger Games. Shout out to Minecraft Hunger Games, real quick, one time. I think it adds like an entirely different element to it, and it requires a different kind of skill set than most people are used to. And it's really hit and miss. Like people that I talk to, they either like the game because it has building and it's a whole different mechanic, or they hate it because building's stupid and I just want to shoot things.
Mm-hmm.
So you're either on one side of the spectrum or you're on either side. So I like the building, but I also understand exactly where you're coming from, because when I first started, it turned me off completely. And
yeah, because like when I get into a firefight, I want to get into a firefight and then it come down to who's better at like aiming and shooting, like who's has better gun skills. And in Fortnite, it's just you get in a firefight and then all of a sudden they're like 30 feet up in the sky.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck?
I loved Fortnite for a very brief amount of time. I'm not really an online gamer, and so it was a surprise that I liked it. And I liked it because I thought it was real. I thought the whole drop and play, like, you know, you're kind of sneaking around, you're, you know, getting better equipment and stuff, you're taking people out. I thought that was all riveting. I liked the building in the sense that I liked that you could kind of like enter buildings in like unconventional ways. So, you know, someone's like in a hold up in a building, you come through the roof or something like that. But the thing that kind of annoyed me, and that the reason I like never ever won any games, is because I feel like once you get to like, you know, top four, it's like everyone's building the fucking tower, and now you're like, you know, now it's a, I don't know, it's just, so for me, that was kind of how I came at it. But all right, so do you think you're good at Fortnite?
I like to think that I'm somewhere in the middle. I'm definitely not hot garbage, but I'm not anywhere near these streamers that put in like hundreds of hours a month or a week, whatever. You can't put, is there 100 hours a week? I think there is. Yeah, there is. I'm a math student, so I should be able to know. Yeah, there's 100, yeah, but I'm definitely not hot garbage, but I'm nowhere near as good as some of these other guys that play the game.
What do you think, why do you think that Fortnite is this cultural phenomenon right now?
Fortnite to me is everything that gaming should have ever been is in this game. For me, it is able to connect players on any device ever is the coolest thing I've ever seen in a video game. Like, if I'm playing on my PC, I can have one buddy in my party playing on an Xbox or a PS4, another one on a Switch. I can have a guy on a phone, like Apple, Android, it doesn't matter. I think just the fact that you're able to play with everybody anywhere at any given point in time is some of the coolest stuff I've ever seen. I've never seen a game even come close. Like, Minecraft tried but couldn't get the cross-platform stuff to work. And there's just never been a game that I've seen that's been able to do that. It's single-handedly taken over the world just because of how available and the, like, it's free dollars and free cents, you know? It's free 100%. I think that's super cool that you don't have to put a credit card or any kind of money into the game in order to play and participate. Now, if you want to look cool, I mean, you might have to throw out, like, $300 to look cool, right? But the fact that you can play the game for free and it's available everywhere and that it's hit national news, especially with, like, you know, talking before with Twitch, how Twitch has essentially blown up the game to bigger proportions than ever before. Like, people that, like, my parents are okay with games. My dad plays video games. Occasionally, he plays Fortnite. And, like, 2 weeks ago, they had, I don't know if you guys knew about the Marshmallow concert that they had.
Yeah,
they had a Marshmallow live event. And it was going on, and I was watching it. And my dad texted me. He's like, you better call me real quick. And I thought it was a dire need. And he calls me. He's like, Drew, what the hell's a Marshmallow? Why is he playing music in this video game? And he's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. And so just to have that kind of, gap builder between, like, two generations of people who don't, like, people who've played video games for a long time, people who don't play games at all, but they know what Fortnite is, and to have that pop up in conversation, I think that's pretty freaking impressive, to be honest.
Yeah, I would say the accessibility of it is insane. And, I mean, they definitely fought tooth and nail to get the cross-play thing going. And now that it all happens, it really is amazing to watch. And it's almost sad, though, to see, you know, Fortnite came out and really, you know, but PUBG was kind of this fantastic, like, I don't know, it was new and it was exciting. Fortnite came and it really perfected that formula, but I don't know why. It's kind of tragic to me that, like, PUBG, it feels like kind of shot themselves in the foot, and then Fortnite just kind of took the ball and ran with it.
Yeah, I think of a lot of what Epic did with Fortnite that kind of killed PUBG is Epic was so much more responsive with their community, and, like, they rolled out new things every week. You get patch notes every week, updates every week, whereas PUBG was basically just slow to that. And so you didn't know quite what they were doing. You didn't know quite what they were fixing, and everything always took a while, so you'd always get these stagnant metas going on in PUBG. So I think that's a lot what Fortnite did a lot better. And, Drew, you kind of mentioned, I'm kind of curious on your opinion of loot boxes, because you're like, you just to look cool, it costs $300.
Yeah. My opinion about loot boxes has kind of been the same for a really long time, is that if they're purely cosmetic, I really don't care. A lot of people got super upset because, like, Fortnite, you know, they make so much money off cosmetics, but the best player in the world for the last bunch of tournaments that they've had is Tfue, part of FaZe Clan, and he's, like, the best Fortnite player in the entire world probably right now. It has been for quite some time, and he had one of his account with all his prize, I'd say, quote unquote, rare skins, because they were skins in the item shop way before anybody, like, really started playing the game. That account had been banned, and so he made a new account called Not Tfue, and he didn't buy skins on it until very recently, because he made a bet saying if they took a really bad gun out of the game that he'd buy skins again. But for a really long time, he didn't use skins, and he just went around and played the game. And I think that the fact that he didn't need skins to be good kind of, like, led this entire wave of people kind of, like, realizing that loot boxes just need to be, or microtransactions in general, just need to be cosmetic things and not, like, characters behind paywalls, like in the case of the thing you want to talk about later with Apex Legends. That bothers me a lot.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when I jumped in that you have to purchase some of those Legends or whatever they're called.
You don't have to purchase them. You can unlock them just through playing and getting packs.
Yeah, but I don't really know how the in-game currency, like, is it really that easy to earn?
You have to be at least, you only get the, for Apex Legends, you only get the in-game currency as you level up, and you have to hit level 25 in order to unlock one of the characters.
Mm.
So.
And yeah, I mean, in that game too, that's kind of bullshit, because specifically those characters are, like, you know, they have abilities and such that maybe, I don't know, give you an edge in the game or whatever. But I don't want to talk about that yet. I want to talk about another Fortnite controversy, which is these dancing emotes. And so some of the big ones were with, you know, with 2 Milly and with the dude from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And I'm curious to know your take on this, because when I first saw it, I was like, all right, these people, you know, Fortnite's huge and these people are trying to get a piece of the pie. But recently, I don't know, I feel like I read this great article on Waypoint by one, I'm blanking on his name, Waypoint article, go look it up. And it's because I, you know, 2 Milly cited these kind of racial tensions or whatever as the reason that maybe this is kind of, because it's you know, there's a history of stealing black culture for this kind of stuff. And the thing that kind of blew my mind was that he pointed out Marshmello gets his own concert in game and 2 Milly gets his dance stolen and rebranded. So I'm just curious if you have a different opinion on this or anything.
I kind of have I don't know if my opinion's like super different. My philosophy is just kind of like, I think that I don't know if you can really put like copyrights on dance moves. I don't know how that works. In the case of like the Marshmello thing, they specifically said on Twitter that streamers and content creators on YouTube were able to watch the event and stream the event, but they were not able to make any money on like by replaying the event and like make any money on that. But they had talked to Marshmello's team and things like that. And I guess, I don't know, I just think like, I think the whole trying to take copyright claims against dances is really, really silly. Because people have been using the moonwalk since Billie Jean came out in 86 or whatever the heck, right? So does that mean like Michael Jackson should like get like a truckload of money just poured onto his grave somewhere and just get a bunch of money from copyright strikes of people using the moonlight? Like Janelle Monáe just used it at the Grammys like a couple days ago. Does that mean that she has to get copyright striked? So I personally think that it's kind of like them trying to get in on this cash cow, just because of how giant, you know, Fortnite is, because these dances have been in other games too. Recently, Forza, the newest Forza game, I think it was Forza Horizon 3, they had removed like their floss dance and their the Carlton dance and things like that out of their game, just because they also did not want to get copyright striked by those dancers, so, or those rap artists or hip hop artists or whoever the heck and wherever the heck.
It just seems like a shame to me that, I don't know, like that all these kids are doing these moves and stuff, and yet, I don't know, they have no idea who 2 Milly is, or like that he, you know, that he essentially popularized this thing. So I don't know, it just seems to me kind of shady. They like totally rebranded it. 2 Milly, no one know, you know, no one of these Fortnite kids like know that 2 Milly made this.
Do you
this.
Really want kids knowing who 2 Milly is though?
I don't know. It just doesn't, and you know, they're making all this crazy amount of money, and 2 Milly for all like is a very small artist. So I don't know, it just seems, whether or not you agree with, you know, who 2 Milly is, like it just seems kind of shady to me.
Yeah. I can definitely see where people are like kind of upset about it. My mom's calling me on the phone. Hashtag love you mom. I'll call you back later. I definitely see like that point too, and I kind of thought about it. I saw like JB Blockboy, the guy who does the hype dance, like the shoot dance or whatever, like kicking the leg, the thing that Antonio Brown does if you're a sports guy, and if you're not, look up the hype dance or the shoot dance, you know what I'm talking about. He has a song with Drake. It's a pretty good song. He was also getting upset too about like the whole like racial thing, and I don't see it as much as a racial thing as them just trying to get on the cash cow. But I mean, for all I know, maybe Epic is just really bad people. They're really bad people. It's a toss-up in my opinion, but I personally do not think you should be able to monetize or copyright strike dance moves, you know, because somebody else could have came up with that before. Some of them are obviously like direct ripoffs, but it's a gray line that I don't know where.
Yeah, and it just sucks to me because Epic, by all accounts, is associate with a great company. You know, they took all of this Fortnite money and now they're opening the Epic Game Store, which is giving developers, you know, a bigger cut of the pie. Which I think, by all accounts, is a great move on their part. It's great for everyone, and they're really good about communicating with their community and, you know, updating things. And I don't really know anything about the meta, but it seems like they're a very like kind of transparent company. But it's just on this one front that I'm like, it just doesn't seem that hard to at least, I don't know, tell people who it is, maybe give them a little bit of money. You have plenty of it, anyways. Eric's out chilling for a second. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm just going to hold up for a second, and then he can cut this part out, because I want to start talking about Apex Legends, but I want him to be here, because he has more of an opinion than I do. All right, we are back. We took a brief hiatus. No, that's not the word. We took a brief break because Eric had to puke. Anyways.
Did you actually go throw up? Yeah, I did. Oh, that's fine. I did not know that. Oops.
So we're talking about Fortnite. But we are going to switch gears because I want to talk about the death of Fortnite, the Fortnite killer, the one who's coming to stab that little childish baby right in the heart, and that is Apex Legends.
It's pretty fucked up, dude.
I actually. Really? That's the only Battle Royale game you liked?
Yeah, because I love the gameplay of Titanfall, and then this is just kind of a little bit of the you get a little no wall running, which is kind of lame, but you get some mobility options, and you don't get Titans, but it's still really fun.
Here's the thing. I know they've already said, like, whatever, it wouldn't work, but fuck me if I wish it wasn't just a Titanfall. Like, if it wasn't just a Titanfall Battle Royale. Can you imagine... Wait. Can you imagine running around in a Titan in like a battle royale setting, yeah, wall running all over the place? God, it's
that would have to be massive though.
Yeah, it doesn't work. I understand. But whatever. So here's the thing. I jumped into Apex Legends for the first time right before the show. I played maybe 5 matches. I died very quickly in like 3 of them. I'm still figuring out how to play. I really like the shooting mechanic. I think it's like it's very satisfying. Killing people takes a long time, but I kind of understand it's for, you know, I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like if the time to kill was, like, Call of Duty or whatever, it would make the battle royale a lot.
I really don't have that big of a problem with the time to kill. What problems were you having? Maybe you just suck.
It's so I Drew, you weigh in on this a little. You played much more of the game. The time to kill is enough time to watch the entirety of the Titanic, I think.
No, it's definitely not that.
It is very much, very, very, very slow and monotonous. It just, my biggest, so I've played... Remember, twitch.tv/G3Structure, dude. Don't be Twitch Prime subs. It's free if you have an Amazon Prime account. So I've played a decent amount of Apex Legends. Not as much as some people, but more than others. And I have a few personal gripes, I guess, with the game. I think that the movement is very, very gross. I do not like it at all.
Really?
A lot of people, a lot of people get really upset at me. Like, well, the movement feels so good. I feel like every character, even with guns holstered, is just really slow. And the sliding is just not as fun as I want it to be. And maybe that's because Eric, also really like Titanfall. Titanfall 2 kicks serious ass. And I wish I could just wall run, I had the movement of a pilot, but I don't, and it's really frustrating for me. I'm not a big movement. I don't like the movement that much. I do think that the time to kill is a little bit too long. It just, I don't know. To me, it just feels like Apex Legends is just Blackout. The Black Ops 4 Battle Royale, but more unbalanced than that game was, which is pretty impressive because Blackout on release was very unbalanced. And
another
this game
I didn't play.
What do you think is unbalanced about Apex? I didn't really see... I don't think one legend is better than any of the other legends. The only really bad gun is the Mozambique.
I think the legends are pretty balanced from what I can tell. I don't like that 2 characters have airstrikes. I think that's really stupid for a battle royale game, but that's just my opinion. That's just game design. That's just the game design in me talking. The things I really don't like is I don't like that how super powerful the purple and gold armor body armor is. I feel like those absorb just way too many shots for me personally. I don't know if you played Blackout at all. I don't know.
No, I didn't
jump into
Blackout.
So Blackout had 3 levels of armor. And the level 3 armor was the one that gave you a headpiece. Otherwise, there was no helmets in the game. And with that armor, when the game first came out for probably the first month, you were a walking, talking tank. You're a tank. Words are hard. You're a tank. And that's kind of what it feels like in Apex Legends right now, except you can re-heal and recharge your body armor at any given point in time. I just think they need to nerf or like reduce the amount of damage that you can soak up with guns. Soak up by like with body armor. I think that's just really ridiculous. And also, ammo is just really scarce. And I don't like the magazine sizes without extended mags. Like 18 bullets. What am I gonna do with 18 bullets? It's like, yeah. Words are hard. I'm flustered. The game. I wanna preface it by saying I really want to like Apex Legends, because when I watch people play it, and not just Shroud. But when I watch other streamers play it, I look at it and I'm like, that game looks fun. But it kind of has that same feel to me when Fortnite first came out. Is when I watched people play Fortnite right away, I looked at it, played it, didn't like it that much. I was like, I'm just going to stick with PUBG because I'm better at it and I know it more. And when I look at Apex is a game that I'm naturally good at. It's not that I'm, like, awful at the game. I'm good at, like, I kill people pretty quickly. I play a lot of first-person shooters on stream. You said yourself, Lonely, you see me play, like, many different games on stream. Like, I play a lot of Counter-Strike as of recently, and I've played Blackout, and I've played Apex on stream, so I know how shooting works. I just think there's a lot of things that people want to just poo-poo, because, and even Shroud said this on his stream, that people will do anything to not like the popular kid. Like, people will purposely like a game if it's in direct competition with something else. And there's enough of a community that hates Fortnite and how cartoonish it is that they'll see something new, like, Apex Legends, best game ever made. Fortnite's dead. Fortnite sucks. Bah. And it's like, this game has to, we gotta give it time to marinate, sit in the pot, and see what they do within the first month or two.
I think, this might be a hot take, but I think that, and maybe it's just because it is so new, but I think the possibilities with Apex Legends is, like, thinking about, like, I don't know, the you know, the, maybe the mobility stuff they could add in and stuff like that, like, excites me a lot more than I don't know, than Fortnite. Because I guess I haven't been in Fortnite a long time, and I have no, like, interest in going back. But Apex Legends does excite me, and I really want to get in there and get good. Do you think that, I mean, I know you said, you know, kids like to hate on the popular kid or whatever. Do you think that Apex Legends has a chance to be a Fortnite rival, or do you think that they can both exist simultaneously and you know, have similar popularities? Or
I think that, oh, sorry, I'm smelling my water. I personally don't think there's gonna be a game, at least for another year, that fully kills off Fortnite. I just think that you're talking about a game that has, like I said before, a cross platform for any system, any console, any mobile device, as well as an already established player base. But what I do think is that if there's a game out there that has a chance to compete directly with Fortnite, it's this game, like, leaps and bounds. Like, they did a good thing by making it free. I don't agree with having two characters stuck behind paywalls, even though I know you can grind for them. I know I'm going to get a bunch of people that listen to this that are my friends that are going to say you can grind for them. The difference between me grinding 25 levels and some kid pumping in his credit card, that's night and day, especially when you're talking about a game that has different abilities and different characters, regardless of those abilities are good or not. That game mechanic is locked behind a paywall, and that's not fair. But this game, I think, is not just a flash in the pan, but it'll depend on what they do within the first 2 months. A lot of people thought that Blackout was going to be the Fortnite killer. I thought Blackout was going to be the Fortnite killer, but they stagnated and didn't add new content like Fortnite consistently does every week. So if a game has an opportunity, it's probably Apex Legends, but we'll have to give it more time than just a week before we make a final judgment call on if they can kill off the Goliath that is the Floss Dance.
Yeah, I guess, you know, you can't really Millie Rock or anything in you know, Apex, so I guess that's a big no over there.
Yeah, well, which is kind of nice. I mean, you don't really need dances. There's, like, skins and stuff. Yeah, and they're really the only loot boxes or, like, loot stuff that I do not like is also the characters. But, I mean, everything else seems pretty fair. And plus, you could go on to their website and see the drop rates for things, and so that's nice. They're being transparent there as well.
If they add sicko mode or more Bomba to the game, I mean, it's immediately going to go over, like, overboard. I saw a video on Twitter. This is completely off the rails here, but I have to add this. And there's these kids at a trampoline park, and Mo Bamba came on over the sound speaker, and they all just started singing. And these kids are, like, maybe 10 to 13, and that was just the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, that song has officially hit new levels of cringe, and I want it to be done forever.
Oh, Apex Legends. I also hear I don't want to play with other people, you know what I mean? Eric, maybe I'll jump in with you, maybe we can play a little bit. But I already jumping in, I was like, I'm not a person who's gonna get on the mic. I don't wanna talk to these kids.
Yeah.
So I'm never going to win.
I played a bunch on PS4 because that's just where my friends play. And so we could have a full squad on PS4. Although I played one game on PC, and I have a 100% win rate on PC. Because I've only played one game, and we won it. And I was with two randos. And it was so weird because, like, what I really love about Apex is the ping system. Like, on PC, I do have a mic set up, but I rarely use it when talking to strangers. Like, I didn't talk to these two people at all, and I'm ass at aiming on PC just because I played console for so long, and I don't play that many first-person shooters on PC. I play a lot more indie games and stuff like that, so I'm just, like, fucking ass at aiming and shooting. So I got, like, two kills in the whole match, but basically all I did was, there was one guy that was fucking, like, killer, so all I do would just go out, lure the people to him, and then he'd kill them, and then we just won, and I'm like, okay, looks like I have a 100% win rate on PC.
I impressive stuff. I'm very impressed by signing to an esports org.
Yeah, right?
TSM's looking for Apex players. Might want to hop on that train real
quick. Got a higher win percent than Shroud. Fucking.
This is like when I was in high school and I was like, yeah, man, I had a 500 batting average, but I had like, I don't know, 13 at bats or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. Apex is going to be, it's interesting. Like, they've already had a big tournament like yesterday. And I think that they're just, I don't want to say that they're in over their heads. I think one thing that they did a really good job of was like keep it under wraps and not have a bunch of people like see the game before it came out. Like, they invited a bunch of like big streamers. Like, they invited Shroud and Dr. Disrespect and a couple other guys out to play it at Respawn in California. And I think they're doing a really good job of maintaining it. And I think they added a patch today that changed some things. I don't really know off the top of my head. But if they can consistently add content, and that's kind of the thing that really is the big comparison everyone like complains about. But like, Fortnite's like community team and their live event team is super, is just on the ball. Like, they had an entire concert. Granted, it was 10 minutes, right? Not a huge thing. But like, to have the ability to have an entire concert in game and have millions, like it was, I think, 10 million people at once, all on different servers across the world, watch this thing and have zero hiccups at all. Like, no server drops, no nothing, with the nothing bad happening. That's super impressive to me. That, like, they're able to do that. So you have to really think about, like, not only you're going against a game that has a dedicated community with good gameplay already, but you're going against a live team in Epic that just knows what they're doing and consistently ups themselves and just does better each time. So we'll see. I think Apex has a chance, but man, they have a tall order.
I mean, even last year, I mean, Epic managed to get to have Thanos in the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, man, like, that I've never, like, you know, I fell out pretty quickly, but I thought so. I guess I just didn't because, you know, I was doing class and stuff, but I was so close to jumping back into that event. It seemed so much fun.
That was, it was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Like, that's just, like, that's just the thing. It's like, having, video games have come so far, man, just to see, like, back when they used to be, like, this, like, freaking naysay, you're stupid if you play games now, like, you have your fate, like, the biggest movie franchise in the world right now, just like, hey, we're gonna put Mr. Snapback into the game, and you get to play as him with the big boy fist. Like, that is just the coolest thing. I just, wow.
So, jumping back to Fortnite, you're still playing, right?
Yes, 100%.
What's the current meta like? Is it, I don't know, I've seen a lot of things added, the map looks totally different than when I was playing. So how happy are you with, like, the current state of Fortnite?
I'm not super happy with it, but they have a patch coming out that's going to fix a lot of the things. So currently we're on season 7 of Fortnite. Each season lasts, I think, it's either like 2 or 3 months. It's not super long. Season 7 was right at the cusp of Christmas. They added their winter part of the map. They added about 9 kilometers to the bottom left of the map, essentially making it bigger. And they added this thing that everybody hates called planes. And airplanes in Fortnite just do not work. They work for traveling purposes, but they've been really, really buggy with everything else. They take the one thing that separates the game from everything else, which is obviously the building, which again is hit and miss with people, and essentially throws it out the door. You're able to ram into structures with your plane for practically free. The gun on the plane does a shit ton of damage. Excuse me. And it's very hard to do damage to the person piloting the plane. However, tomorrow they're releasing a patch that you won't be able to ram into structures anymore with your plane, which I think is very, very needed, especially with how Apex is kind of blowing up. It's really funny that Fortnite is adding patches now based on how much, you know, Apex has gained traction. So,
how long do you think till Fortnite implements the ping system from Apex?
I'd say it wouldn't be long, but again, I don't think it's needed just because there is solos and stuff inside of Fortnite. I think the pinging system works really well for a first-person shooter, especially with Apex, just because it's a good way to have people talk to each other because you're forcing people to play with each other. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Fortnite needs it just because you're not forced to play with other people. And if it's really easy to talk to the people in game, but it's interesting. Fortnite's fun right now. It's a good time. I like it.
Are you playing solos, or do you have a team you play with, or?
I really don't like playing Battle Royales with myself anymore. I'm actually, like, this just in, breaking news, Pew News, Gloria Berger here. I'm actually getting really fucking sick of Battle Royales, I'm going to be honest with you. I've been playing them for, like, probably, like, 2 years straight now. I'm just getting kind of, like, I'm getting burnt out super quickly. But when I play Fortnite now, it's kind of just with friends. So I have a couple people that play like a more like competitive level, and we do like the in-game tournaments that they have, and I just play those, and then I'll play like some casual like squads with like some PS4 friends and things like that. But I really rarely do solos. If I'm doing solos in Fortnite, so I only do like the weekly challenges or something like that. But I don't play solos like to get better at the game. It's just boring for me. It's not as fun as playing with my friends. So,
what kind of games did you play before like PUBG and stuff came out?
I was really big into Overwatch before Overwatch essentially killed itself. It just hasn't, they haven't really done a really good job. Blizzard has, they laid off a bunch of people at Blizzard. They haven't done a good job of like consistently updating the game to where it should be. But I played a lot of Overwatch. I played a lot of Counter-Strike.
So you're playing primarily multiplayer games?
Yeah, I play a lot of like competitive multiplayer games essentially. I have a couple. I really want to play more Minecraft and Terraria. I love Minecraft. I have a soft spot for Steve in my heart. I want to get a Steve tattoo somewhere. Probably like on like a thigh piece or like one across my chest that just says Steve. But I have no Minecraft symbols, so it just looks like I have Steve across my chest.
I also was a Minecraft kid. I really love that game. I know people, you know, shit on it because it's like for kids and shit. But like, man, like what a... It's just a Lego box that's digital. It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, to answer your question, a lot of multiplayer games. But that's just kind of where... I play a lot of sports as a kid, so once I stopped playing sports, like, starting in high school, I needed, like, a really good competitive outlet, and so I played, like, my freshman year of high school is when I got my first, like, gaming computer that I bought with my own money, and I played Smite, that MOBA, and then I started playing Counter-Strike, and I just have not looked back. I've just played competitive games constantly, so.
What do you think's the next big game for D3structive, dude?
Ooh. That's a good question. I really don't know. A lot of people have been just constantly asking me to play Apex, and I don't like streaming Apex for, like, two reasons. One, I get super frustrated at the game, and when I get frustrated, I don't want to play it anymore, and I hate switching games constantly. But two, it's, like, coming back to, like, the beginning of the show, it's hit that point where if I stream Apex and I don't have everybody that's normally watching me like they are, like, occasionally... Or like they do most of the time, and I only have like 4 viewers at a time, I'm not going to grow. And that's, I'm basing more what I'm playing on stream, like, can this game help me grow? Will it help me grow and bring in new people? And that's kind of what I've been leaning towards for streaming. So big, like, new games that are coming out, I really want to play this Tetris Battle Royale, dude, on my stream. I think that'd be super funny. Tetris 99, if I can get a capture card, you better watch me play some Tetris 99 on stream.
Yeah, I think this is the Apex and Fortnite killer, because I'm downloading Tetris. This game when I get home.
I'm 100% going to play some Tetris.
Is it free to play?
It is free to play.
If you have online, you just have it.
Switch online, you can play it for free. I don't know. I really wanted, like, Anthem comes out in a couple days, and I really wanted to get into Anthem, and I just saw... like the beta reviews, and I'm a big Destiny guy. I really like Destiny 1 and 2.
What do you main in Destiny?
Huh?
What character do you main?
I'm a Warlock. Warlock till I die.
Nice.
Eric, are you also a Warlock?
I'm also a Warlock.
Yeah. I'm really also Destiny 3 is going to be good because Activision's gone. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, right. Can't wait.
I'm super excited. I really wanted to like Anthem, and I watched gameplay and I played it for like 20 minutes and I was just like, this is just boring. It's just Destiny, or it's a watered down Warframe. If you guys ever played Warframe at all, which is essentially...
Eric, you really liked it, though, right?
I had fun with it.
Anthem?
But I can see where people would like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I also
are you
got
gonna
bored.
Get it?
No, I'm going to wait a little while. I'm going to see how it plays out. I had it pre-ordered, but then I'm like, nah, I didn't have that much fun in the demo.
Yeah.
Like, it was fun to fly around, but guns didn't feel very good.
It's the best Iron Man game.
That's what I was saying. I want it because I want to fly around and be Iron Man, but again, I'm not...
Yeah,
I'm the opposite of you, too. I am not an online gamer. I like to play story games. I love, you know, grinding on the, you know, getting in there on the stories, getting nitty gritty on the themes and literature and such. So I'm like, I just know. I fucking bought The Division. And I played that game for like 2 days.
Which one, Division 1?
Yeah.
Speaking of Division, that was going to be my next thing. People want to be like, are you going to get Division 2? It's like, that's just, Division 2 is just DLC for Division 1, not in a good way. I watch people play it and they are bored within like 5 minutes of playing it. And it does not look... and like any fun. So right now there's really no new games that are really coming out, and I want there to be something that just like grabs me by the head and just like makes me play it. I'm looking into getting Dead Cells, which is a roguelite game that I watched my roommate
Ryan. I've heard great things.
Yeah, I've seen people play it, and I really, roguelite games are really fun to play on stream, like Slay the Spire, Enter the Gungeon, things like that. So we'll just have to see if there's a game that catches my eye. I mean, my mentality is I'll play anything once, but if I have to give a game like 20 attempts for me to have like one good experience, is like, no, I'll play it off stream. I'm not gonna play it on stream and like put myself in a position to like summit 1G my monitor and lose my fan base.
You ever think about playing Hollow Knight? You played that one? Oh, wait, that's another. Well, I guess it's on the PC.
Yeah.
Hollow Knight? I've heard about it. I want to maybe potentially play it.
Very good game.
Eric's my favorite game of all time.
Favorite game of all time.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
We just recently made an episode, our last episode. Wait, was it the last episode? Yeah, the last episode was the top 10 games of all time. You should give a listen.
Oh, man, that's a list right there.
God of War 1.
Yeah,
unsurprising.
Yeah, it's not unsurprising. I have a hard-on for that game, dude.
Which game I didn't care?
God of War.
Oh, my. Okay, wait, the remake or the first?
Yeah, the new one.
Okay.
The new one.
Okay, yeah.
It is the perfect video game.
It is very... God of War is... I played it, and I really did enjoy it. I mean, I've also played, like, all the God of War games that they've had, so...
I played 1, most of 2, 3, and then the new one. Drew, you got anything else to say about your channel? Any plugs? Anything like that? Any shout-out to any people?
I want to say shout-out to God. Keeping it real, number one. Not a couple things. If you guys like I said, really cringy and funny Twitch content, you should definitely check out the channel. twitch.tv/D3StructiveDude. Okay? Make sure you put the 3 in there. It's cool and it's edgy, like me. I just dabbed. You can't see it, but I saw it and I felt it.
Can't confirm.
You can also find me on my social medias. Twitter and Instagram are at D3StructiveDude. Hop on. Give me a follow. I'll tweet every time I go live. I go live pretty much Monday through. I stream all the time. Like, I'm probably streaming like 6, 7, maybe like 7 out of the 7 days in a week. It's kind of an addiction at this point. I appreciate you guys having me on, and I hope that one day I'll make it back to this place, this locked away closet that they're keeping me in, and do
another
podcast.
You're a game design student, yeah?
That is correct.
Cool.
Does that mean I'm going to be back?
Maybe, yeah.
Probably.
Everyone, this has been the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3. Thank you for listening. Drew, thank you for coming on the show. You're welcome back anytime to talk about a different game, anything you want. Everyone, tune in next week when, I don't know, we'll find out if Eric's still alive.
Also, happy birthday, Shuhei Yoshida. We're a little late, but...
Yeah, happy birthday, Shuhei.
Shout out to Shuhei.
One more thing. Our hearts go out to everyone at Activision and Blizzard. What happened to you guys fucking sucks, and eat the rich. Everyone, thank you. We love you, unless you suck.
Like the Activision and Blizzard CEOs.
That's just a really big shot you'd stab you're taking there, my man.
And then unless you suck, then we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.